Hello, welcome to Careers in Tech Show. I'm your host, Patrick. On the Careers in Tech Show, we explore the story, secrets, and skills of people who broke into tech without a computer science degree, or who are here to share their story with us to impact your own career goals and those around you. We want to help you see the possibilities when it comes to breaking into tech from a non-technical background and working your way up as either a product designer, developer, or product manager. Our mission is to help you cast the light before you and help you see the bigger picture when it comes to breaking into tech. And also help you know that it is important to take that critical step. The show has got episodes with product designers, product managers, software developers, CEOs, CTOs, and other people who break into tech without a standard college degree or computer science background. We also have two boxes for skills like negotiation, personal branding, and many more. So if you want to learn and improve your career goals or professional life, you're going to be right up your alley. If you're looking to have a career in tech from a non-technical background, you can enroll in Skill Embassy Product Accelerator program to help you in your career journey. We have mentorship and career opportunities available. So please head over to skillembassy.com and sign up in one of the courses. And today here we have with us Mike Perry Akara, who is a software developer. He has been in the industry for many years. He's a very skilled person. And so welcome, Mike.
Thank you, Patrick.
I'm very
I'm
honest.
really glad
Yeah,
to be here today.
I'm very honored to have you today too. Can you please tell us a little bit about yourself?
Okay, so I think I've been interested in having a career in tech. I think when I was in high school, I think when I wrote my first line of code, it was basically changing colors using Dreamweaver by then. So it was like, okay, we all have to pursue, go to tertiary, go and read computer science. But unfortunately, I couldn't really go that path. I had to go and train as a teacher. So I trained as a science and math teacher, taught for almost 3 years. So during that period, I was also teaching myself programming until I got a job as a front-end developer with a startup when I finally successfully made that switch from me, a teacher, to a software developer.
That's awesome. And then, so from your story, that means you started from high school.
Yeah, basically, that was when I actually saw like the power of code, what you can really do. So I think what really fascinated me was, writing those hexadecimal codes and you see the colors change like red, you enter some digits and the color change to blue. Like it was just fascinating. Oh, okay, so you can actually do this. Yeah.
Okay, so what actually
But I actually didn't pursue that from then. So I think having completed high school, I think when I was in high school, what I was doing more was like graphic design, mainly like designing flyers, invitation cards. So not like professional skill, like grand scale graphic design, but at least I have the experience designing flyers. I've done some commercial projects though then. But I think I started learning programming around 2014, 2015. That was when I actually started making that switch, trying to focus on coding. Yeah, so that was when I actually started learning programming. By the high school, I think that was what really drew my interest.
So, did you get onto it by yourself, or was an inspiration from a colleague, or how did you get exposed to the coding?
Okay, so I think I got on it by myself when I had my first laptop. laptop. So I was reading online. I mentioned already I was doing kind of like graphic designing. So I know how to use like a laptop. So I right, okay, yeah, there is programming. You can build software, you can build websites. So I was learning basically almost everything, reading blog posts. And I think that was the difficult part when you don't really have a kind of structured curriculum. It's like you jump on almost everything. So what actually gave me a sense of direction was the Google Africa Challenge Scholarship. So when I applied, I think that was 2018, they actually put me in the intermediate track, which is kind of like people with already having experience. So I was like, hey, how did I even get here?
Yeah.
So I, after, at the end, I think I was selected among the 100 top people and awarded the Mobile Web Specialist Nano degree, which was kind of like an advanced nano degree for like people who are already working as software developers who want to learn some advanced concepts like web performance, web accessibility, responsive web design, like mobile first approach, and those kind of advanced concepts. And I think I was able to go through that successfully, completed in November 2018. Okay. Yeah, I think that was what really gave me that confidence that, yeah, I can now call myself like a software developer.
That's a pretty nice thing. So from the story, it looks like there was a gap between senior high and then getting into college. What actually brought back the spirit of, you know, exploring again and getting back into the chosen?
So it's more of like access to tools and resources. Let me put it that, you know, in our part of the world where we don't really have a lot of, let's say you have your personal laptop. And those days around 2010, 2011, 2012, you know, basically if you want to do anything with computer, you're either going to the internet cafe. Like that's, or, and by then too, if you are spending more time in the internet cafe, you are kind of branded like a fraud boy and those kind of things. So it was kind of dazing.
Okay.
So I think that was like the, what really brought the gap, like having access to like a computer where like I can start learning things on my own. So I think when I got my first computer in 2015, I think 2004, 2015, I can't really remember, but so that was when things began to pick up. I could now afford a modem of my own. So it's kind of, okay, now I have more charge of like what I do, what kind of things I do. Yeah.
So if you can tell, how was your learning journey like? As you mentioned, you just explored on your own. It was like looking up things online and then trying to find your way out, things bombarding your own. By then, I'm sure there would have been a lot of information out there, but you kind of don't know the right source or where to actually start from. How was the learning journey?
Yeah. Okay, so I think it was, just as you mentioned, it's quite overwhelming. There are a lot of information. And you know, even as a someone in tech, you know how techies rant almost every day, like JavaScript is better than PHP, this language is better than this, this tool is better than that. So for someone who is starting, if you don't really have like that guidance, you just jump on the rant, like maybe you are learning PHP and someone else comes out and say, okay, or you are reading a blog post, someone says, so PHP is dead, like now go and learn C#. You realize you are just jumping, you're also going to learn C#. So it was kind of like almost everywhere. So I think it has also kind of being coming from a background as a teacher, from hindsight, I think it has also opened my eyes to some of like the various tools available, and also now knowing what I really want to pursue. I think those are some of the things that other people that maybe might have had a straight path might also miss. That kind of trying out different things and just... So first, I think it was not mainly like just going to make a career in this, but it was just like learning, scaling myself basically. Even so, it took some time for me to really decide, yes, I really want to switch career.
So it looks like most of the time that you spent was out of passion, if I should put it that way.
Yeah, basically.
So at what point?
Because I was just interested in like the computer, playing with the computer, doing things like. So I think I remembered when I was in senior high school, my elder brother was having a desktop computer which was not connected to the internet. And then I remember I can play Zuma the whole night and the next morning and still go to school. So it was kind of like I really want to be doing things with the computer. Yeah.
So it was like when at the early stage you were just glued to the computer, just wanted
the computer to do things. So when I realized, okay, yeah, you can also give it instructions, it can change these colors, like basically you can run some commands. So it was more of like getting to know more things about the computer, doing things. So that was it from initially.
Okay. So basically you did it out of passion, but at what point did you realize that it is something that you can get a career out of?
Okay, so I think when I joined the Google Africa Developer Scholarship, that was when I finally decided to like really make that switch.
So it was that program that introduced you to, you know, the aspect of it that you think you'd be able to get a career.
Okay, so that's what I was saying. Like when I joined, they actually put me in the intermediate track, which is kind of like, yeah, these are people who have been programming for some time. Like, so all those while I was just seeing like, oh, I'm just doing things, just learning things, but I didn't really see myself like, yeah, I really know this thing. I can't even call myself a programmer. So I think that program actually gave me that confidence to really believe in my skills and also know, yeah, like this is a skill that is needed out there. Like people are taking that as a career.
So do you remember the first thing that you made, you know, after learning, what was the first thing that you did? You were just part of yourself to see how you've been able to do something like that.
So that program, that was when like pick an idea and build. I think before the selection, how they selected the top 100, I think we were asked to build a weather app. Mm-hmm. I think we built a currency calculator app first, and then a weather app. I think those were the things I really started with, that I can remember, like really building something.
So from there, what has been the experience? Have you worked with any company?
Yeah, I've worked with some companies, both local and foreign.
And then, okay, from your story, too, you mentioned you had some mentorship, you were able to mentor people.
Yeah.
How was your experience?
Okay, so mentoring, I think what I'm really passionate about that, as I mentioned, my journey, where like it, I think it took me too long to really realize, yeah, I can do this. And I think it has, it is somehow also affecting me even till now. Like, you know, we talk about this imposter syndrome, where sometimes you don't really believe in like what you are doing. You feel like inadequate and those kind of things. So I really share those stories with people and also make sure that like I give them guidance. But also having the thought of like a teacher, someone who did like education, people development, understanding how people learn and all that. So you see, sometimes I realize one challenge too with people is sometimes we don't consider, why am I doing this? What did I really like? You know, sometimes people come to you kind of, I want to break into tech. But tech is actually very broad. So I actually ask them, okay, what do you want to do? What are the things that you really like doing? Do you like writing? Do you like drawing? Like, really find out where they are really passionate about and really point them in that direction and make sure that I give them the guidance and help them avoid the kind of distractions that I went through.
Okay. So you mentioned about imposter syndrome, and I think it is something that is in the tech industry. A lot of people face that, even the top engineers having a kind of their own imposter syndrome. And looking at someone coming into tech without a computer science degree or without a tech background, you know, it's going to be difficult. And I'm sure they're going to face something like that. So what would be the message to someone like that? What would be your advice to someone like that?
So I would say sometimes it's a talking about imposter syndrome for me, I think it's a two-way sword. Sometimes legitimately you don't know something. It's good you identify what you don't know and accept it that yes, I don't know this, and make it a point to learn or improve. And also sometimes you may know something, but because you have not really put it into practice, you feel kind of inadequate. And one thing I've also learned is almost every project, there's some kind of anxiety when you are starting it. Hey, what am I going to do? How am I going to do this? But as the time goes, so you just have to keep making sure you are making progress, you are building steadily while learning in the process. And also, not being too hard on yourself. So sometimes we are too hard on ourselves. We try to compare ourselves with people who are kind of way ahead of us in our career. Let's say someone has been programming for about 10 years now, and they're able to do something in 30 minutes. You shouldn't, someone starting your career, shouldn't feel like, hey, this person did this in 30 minutes. Then, and now maybe spending 2 hours or 3 hours on that. Hey, then like, I don't know anything. No, you really know something. That person is there. They have experienced certain things. They might have done it over and over. So they starting, they know exactly where they are going, what they are doing from the get-go. That's why they're able to probably do that in that 30 minutes or something. So I think because people are sharing their ideas and things they are working on online, sometimes that's what also causes that kind of intimidation, the inferiority complex. Hey, this person is doing this. Hey, and I cannot do that. No, like, trust in your journey. Know the level you are and how you want to grow to that level, to another level. Let me put it that way.
Okay. That is a very nice message to put around. And I want to ask, can you share a bit about your your interview with the other the companies that you work with? You know, coming on board as someone that's, you know, you are self-taught, what are some of the things that they looked at to bring you on board or to hire you?
Okay, so far I've not been on a hiring board to really evaluate like the skills that companies are looking for. So, but from experience, every project and the team may need different things. Some people may want, for instance, they may say they want a front-end developer, but probably they want someone who is very skilled in UI, like writing CSS, like pixel perfect. So in that case, you realize that most of the interviews, like those are the things that they'll be looking out for. What are some of the interfaces you have built before? How did you build them? Like, do you really understand the CSS concept? So some people, it's like they want a generalist who can move from place to place. Some people, a team may also want someone who will also be able to learn fast. So sometimes some people may hire you where you are not really working with the technologies that they are using, but they've seen how you're able to learn new things and you'll be able to learn something new and really get good at it. Yeah, so different people look at different things.
So I want you to try and imagine or cast your eye around it. Trying to, you know, navigate your way around the tech industry as a software person, and then probably having some sort of guidance or a structured system. You know, how do you think that could have influenced your learning?
Okay, so it will have made my transition faster. So as I mentioned, let's say for instance, from 2015 to 2019, that was like almost 4 years. Mm-hmm. Even within that, there was a break for about 2 years. Mm-hmm. I think that laptop got stolen. Mm-hmm. So I came back again, like off. And also when I was actually teaching in the rural area. And you know, Ghana, even sometimes in Accra, the internet. So you can imagine someone teaching in a rural area. So that's where like the passion also come in, like that dedication. You really want to do this and you find every means to do that. I think when my salary came in 2017, around April, I think May, June, thereabouts, the first thing I bought was a laptop.
Oh.
So it's like, yeah, okay. This is what I really want to do. So, and I remembered, you know, data was very expensive. I can say now I can afford like data and work anytime. By then it was like night, you have to wait for midnight.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah. Yeah, so it made it quite long for me. But having a structured program, like with mentorship, guidance, you're able to transition faster. And that's one thing I've learned from my experience at Lambda School.
That's good. And so right now, what is your typical day like?
So now I'm freelancing and also working on like trying to get a full-time job, you know. And so my typical day, I wake up around 7-8 depending on the time I sleep. So just the normal morning routine, trying to brush, probably wash down, get some food. Then the day starts. So sometimes one thing I do always is I use calendar for managing like most of my activities. So I check my calendar. Do I have any meeting today? What do I really want to do? Then I check my emails to see if there is anything I have to respond to. After that, I go to check like projects that I'm working on, and also try to give myself like kind of after working for about an hour, I try to break. Then I also learning alongside. So for instance, I've realized, I think I mentioned earlier, knowing your weakness and trying to improve on it. So I've realized one of my soft points is like CSS layout. Okay, so if I'm really doing it, I might be able to do it. I can create it. I can write. Even sometimes I can see spot problems. Okay, this is the problem with this thing that you are doing. I can tell people, okay, try this, do that. But I've realized it doesn't come to me intuitively as I do other things. So it is one of the things I'm really working on trying to improve. So learning that, and also learning more about cloud technologies, trying to prepare for the Amazon Web Services certification. So I'm AWS cloud practitioner. I'm certified cloud practitioner, but I want to pursue the solutions architect, the cloud developer. So I'm also learning towards that as well. So my typical day in the morning, checking my schedule for the day, work on projects in the morning, in the afternoon, during my break, read. So I don't know if you saw the screen earlier, you realized there was some blue stuff. Mm-hmm. Those were some books. So that's how my screen usually look like most of the time. I have a lot of ebooks. I also have some physical books on my table. So when I want to take a break from the screen, like I take a physical book, like glance through that as well. And also probably going through some applications, but usually I do that mostly in the night. So sometimes I can sleep around 3 a.m. So those of my friends, a lot of people even ask me, so do you sleep at all? So that was the thing. I actually sleep kind of late.
Yeah.
And I make sure I don't wake up early. And I also don't like to be disturbed. At least I have to, when I sleep, I have to make sure I make some hours before.
So from your talk,
I wake up.
So from your talk, you mentioned freelancing. You're a freelancer. Can you break that down?
Okay. So freelancing is where you are not. Let me say you are kind of a contractor.
Okay.
So you work on projects, and they pay you. So some of them may be paid on hourly basis. Some of it is like you take the whole project and you charge, okay, this is what I'm going to take for this deliverable. You have an agreement with the person depending on the platform or the means of the agreement. So you work on it, you submit, and you receive your payments. Unlike the regular job where you know, okay, you go, you are working, at the end of the month, they pay you an agreed amount. So this is kind of you being more of like a contractor, let me put it that way.
That's good, Matthew. So it's like you have your freedom, you know, whenever you want to, like, you just hop on it.
It comes with its own disadvantages.
Oh, okay.
So from experience, freelancing is tough. I will not advise a beginner to start freelancing, trust me. Unless you really know your stuff you know what you are doing. Because sometimes working in a team, when you are having a challenge, you can reach out to maybe people who are more knowledgeable on that. So I mentioned sometimes you charge the whole project. All they are looking for is, yeah, you said you are going to deliver this at this time. You are bringing that. And also, you can also go sometime without like really having any project you are working on. So the money is also not that consistent. There are times that you may also have like, and it may say like maybe someone's 2 months salary. You can also make it a particular time, maybe in a week or in 3 weeks. But it all comes with its ups and downs. So you have to know how to really manage yourself and also manage your expectations.
Okay. So I think you mentioned...
I really don't consider the freedom so much. I think I mentioned that I want to go back to getting like a full-time work. So that's also...
Okay, so that's some disadvantages.
It's not really freedom. We can argue it. To me, it's not freedom. It's not the freedom. So the truth is, where like I agree, there is freedom is where you choose the projects you want to work on. Yeah, you know, if let's say you are working on with a company and you are tasked to do something, sometimes you can, you don't really want to work on something like that. But because of the contract you have, you cannot say you will not work on that. You don't have the freedom to choose which projects you work on. And now I think a lot of things are changing. If you are reading online, especially most of the foreign companies, where like big corporations, people jump teams, they can work with this team when they feel like they want to try something different, they can join another team and all that. So like the job market itself is also changing, trying to adapt to how people work and all that. So I think, yeah, you have the freedom to choose which projects you work on and how much you want to charge for whatever project.
That's very interesting. And thank you for the advice and also letting us know the disadvantages and advantages working as a freelancer. And I want to ask, do you have any tip for people who are trying to break into tech and not coming with a technical What would be your...
Yeah. So I would say, yes, tech is for everyone. And there are a lot of careers. If you're a writer, there is technical writing. There is, if you love community, there is a developer advocacy, there is program management. It's a really broad field. So everyone really belongs in tech. Sometimes people feel like, oh, when we are talking about tech, we are just talking about programming. No, we even have project management, product management, as you are doing at Skills Embassy and all that. So there are a lot of careers available in tech. You just have to know what you want. What are the things that you already like doing? Let that motivate you to really see how you can help use that skills or those passions in tech. That's what I'll say. So if you are from marketing background, there are a lot of opportunities for you. If you are from education like me, whatever field, if it is art, like everyone really belongs in tech. Yes. And just as here the quote, software is eating up the world. So yes, you bring your skills and help to really shape how the world gets to go.
Is there anything you think I didn't mention but you'd like our audience to know?
Okay, so I think one thing I'll say is, because it has, I heard it being asked several times, is coding hard? Do you need math to become a programmer? I would say yes and no. You don't really need math, but depending on the product you are working on, you realize some products actually are math intensive. And one thing is, whatever you are doing is imitating what is going on in the real world. So for instance, if you are building an accounting software, you should know that, yes, this involves a lot of calculations. So you must understand that domain to really be effective at that. But that does not mean, if maybe you want to just build in interfaces, you don't really need like advanced mathematics to really become a programmer. And as I mentioned earlier, everyone belongs in tech. And also with the question of is programming hard, I'll not deceive you, it's hard sometimes. All right, so what I was saying is, you don't really need mathematics to become a software developer. What you really need is commitment and perseverance. Because when you are starting, a lot of things are going to be confusing to you. But you have to stay put, like ask a lot of questions, have mentors, have people that you can call on and ask questions. So that is what you really need when you are really starting. And I would say, if you want to start now. Don't wait. Oh, okay. Let's say next month I'm going to start. Start today, right now. That's the best way you can go. Enjoy tech.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Very interesting. I'm sure that our listeners can be able to good questions. How do we find you if you want to share any of your handles? We can follow you.
Okay. So on Twitter, LinkedIn, and my personal URL is MikeAttara, MikeAttara. So MikeAttara.com is my personal domain. And Twitter handle MikeAttara, LinkedIn is still the same MikeAttara as the. So that's how you can find me everywhere.
Thanks very, very much. I hope you have a wonderful day.
See ya. Thank you. All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.